incredible job for you. They'll offer the money back guarantee, the Double Dog Dare. No one ever takes it. So great friends over at Double Dog Video. Check these good folks out, DoubleDogVideo.com. And if your company needs a great video, the writing of the copy, the videography, the editing, they'll do an absolutely terrific job. So great friends over at DoubleDogVideo.com. To our guest lines, Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. A very popular man this time of year because of all the things going on, the big recruiting weekend this weekend. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I've never, maybe it's my age and I'm getting old, I've never come into vibes like that.
Oh, yes. Well, that's your new theme music there until we come up with something else. So, but hey, that's your kids might know something like that, but I have no idea what that was as well. Let's talk first commitments because we have more than we've done. And then we'll go in reverse order here since we visit last week. And then I want to talk about the big weekend, who all's coming this weekend and all these things. But let's do a couple of Carters to begin with. And Carter Blackwell, tight end, commits to Clemson out of Lee County down in Leesburg, Georgia. What kind of tight end did Clemson get here?
I really like this fit. Like, there are very few guys that I think are underrated anymore in recruiting. Blackwell for me is one. 6'3", 6'4", 215. Like, I think you see some receiving ability there. But also he's played some inline. As much as the way in which Chad Morris utilizes his tight ends as H-backs, as a number of different things, where there's just a myriad of, I mean, I guess everybody uses their tight ends in some different ways, but I think the way we've kind of always pictured the profile of a Clemson tight end under Chad Morris, I like the way Blackwell fits. And I think he's also I think the tight end is a complementary piece for Clemson. And so while, like, ideally, sure, you'd love to get kind of the five-star talent of, like, a Jackson Dollar from North Carolina, but those guys tend to be pretty one-sided on either, like, someone like that is as much a glorified receiver. And that's kind of all he does. And will do it well, and is a high-level athlete. But to play tight end for Clemson, specifically, it's a complementary piece. You've got to be physical. You've got to be a blocker. You have a role where you're going to get 30 catches a year, maybe. No more or less, oftentimes. But you got to do a lot of a jack-of-all-trades type of deal. And I think Blackwell kind of fits that as a little more of a blue-collar type and hasn't really come with a lot of the recruiting hype and exposure. Was not an early radar type of guy. I think just a lot of things check the box for this to be a pretty value acquisition for the Tigers.
How does he compare to some of the most recent ones, style-wise, athletic-wise, like a Brooking, maybe the Wilson kid coming in this year, some of the guys he'll be competing against down the road?
Mm-hmm. For me, Wilson's a different type than they've had. I think he fits, physically he's going to look a lot more. He's not going to be quite as big as Betancourt. Probably size-wise is the equivalent of Logan Brooking. I think he probably runs a little better than Brooking and is a little, if you're on the have the slider out, he's a little more of a receiver, pass catcher than Brooking. A little less of a physical kind of block, doesn't have necessarily maybe the blocking background as much as Brooking. But I think he's going to be in that same kind of mold, and I'm pretty high on Brooking as someone who will be a contributor for Clemson over the long haul. I think he's in that mold of Brooking with a little more pass catching, and we'll fill in a little more as a, closer to the 235-pound marker.
Yeah, the film looked like me like there's a lot of Brooking in it in there. Kind of reminds you a little bit there. Hopefully they have different numbers because just, frame-wise, also got a little bit like me that way. All right, tell me about another Carter. Carter Jones, a guy you projected as well. So it's a couple of big Carters 2 days in a row for the Tigers.
Mm-hmm. This one, that's a big acquisition for Clemson as far as, Clemson, Matt Luke had been on him for 2 years, and really going back to before he was even a recruit, really a recruit. Old Dominion was about the only school that was in on him when Clemson really started to dig in. And so I think no individual was like a referendum on recruiting, but there was just a clear match there in terms of mutual interest, just a personality fit that Clemson had been in for the long haul with. But obviously, maybe not obviously, but Clemson's season, other different factors, and the kid kind of blowing up led to eventually kind of going through the process, looking around Penn State, Georgia, Tennessee. Mom went to there. A couple of different schools made things interesting over time. But I think it was a significant victory for Clemson to really kind of come around back at the end and gain momentum really over the last month to kind of pull back ahead from Penn State and finish that one off. Profile-wise, like, he is not the same player as Tristan Lee, but I think as you go, guy from Virginia, came up in a wing T offense, so he knows, he is a drive blocker, run game player right now, who will have to, adapt and learn more as far as pass pro and things like that. I think that's, I think he's not going to be an immediate plug and play, but as a team that you're looking to increase the physicality, size on the offensive line, like a lot of guys usually fall like an inch or two short of their specs. He is a legit 6'5". He looks, I think he will arrive looking a little bigger and better than what some of Clemson's most recent signees did, and that's not an indictment of the ones they brought in. That's more of a compliment to, he's always looked more mature physically than his peers. And so I think you get some good clay. You get the physicality, and someone with the kind of the mentality you've been looking for on offensive line. You could play at tackle, you could play him as a guard, but I think long term you like what you're getting here as a potential, 2-3 year starter type.
All right, boards. Obviously, you're going to take more than one offensive lineman. Will you take more than one tight end? Let's talk about what it could mean to the boards at both those positions.
That's never been an obvious with Clemson.
Well, yeah, that's true.
but that has improved for the last, since Matt Lucas arrived. Things have opened up there, and what they've allowed. But as far as for the offensive line, I anticipate it's not going to be the size class they've had the last three years really, to where they've brought in more volume and kind of been able to start stacking and replenishing. But I do think they're going to probably bring in at least two more linemen for this class. And they've got a handful coming in for the official visit weekend here. I don't think there's necessarily a positional profile that they've got to have. But I think you see a mix of tackle and guard coming in. And really, bigger is better for them. So if they can get another tackle type, that would be great. But I think one or two of the guys they're looking at probably profile as interior linemen. Tight end wise, I think Clemson, once they got Blackwell, were able to move on, and they'd already profiled Nicholas Pollock, David Pollock's son, North Oconee, a teammate of Harrison and Luke, Matt Luke's son, and they've got a number of connections to that high school program. Pollock will be in on the official visit weekend, and I think you'd be surprised if he did not end up a commitment. Based on the various connections and Pollock being a fan of the culture that Clemson has, proximity, a lot of different things add up to him being a second tight end type for them.
All right. If we do, that is the case. Talk to me about Pollock and what kind of tight end he is.
6'3", 220, a good, more of probably more linebacker film at high school level. I don't think his team necessarily passed a ton. But again, I think when you're looking for kind of you're getting a, we'll say 6'2 to 6'3 guy who has some athleticism to him. Linebacker film shows physicality and some edge to him, some grit. And so you're kind of bringing in a guy that you think will be a blue collar, long term player at a position that, meets a lot of those traits that we said that the tight end position at Clemson needs. Particularly as an H-back, where you are often an accessory in the run game, and someone that, in goal line that that Clemson will throw two of those out there to augment their blocking. You know, I think there are some different traits he can bring and add as they kind of next year, Clemson having really only returning three tight ends on the books. You know, you're replenishing some depth at that position and giving you some different pieces. Whereas a Bentancur and Brooking and, you know, a Carter Blackwell all profile a little taller, longer, you know, more of what you categorize as closer to NFL type tight ends. You know, the H-back type, you're replenishing with a Tavion Wilson who's coming in as a freshman, and I think Pollock would fit that bill as well. A little shorter, you know, can be more of a fullback type, but catches passes and has a little more maybe agility and versatility in their movement to them.
I wonder if he sleeps. The thing was, his dad would never sleep in college. You've heard that story. It's like he required like an hour of sleep a night, and he's always going. It's crazy. Big weekend this weekend. Storylines, yeah. Major stuff you can be following, and maybe 20-some-odd, when it's all said and done, uncommitted guys in town. What's on tap for the Tigers this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got it'll be a total of around 31, 32 guys coming in for Clemson this weekend. You know, depending on how things go, 19 to 20, I think, uncommitted targets. Several that we are, you know, a handful that we've rolled out on the site that we're watching, you know, headlined probably or initially by Julian Cromartie, Cromartie being Antonio Cromartie's son, receiver out of Texas that Clemson has been involved with and looking for that taller or bigger type perimeter receiver to augment or complement what they've got with Jay Simmons coming in and Trey Wimbley. You know, I think that defensive end is a storyline. You've got a half dozen targets coming in, you know, and I think this will be a volume class for Clemson and needing two, probably three for that class. You know, I think you're wanting at least two to be taller, bigger, longer framed types based on what you've got and what's out there on the board. And so there are so many of them right now are – you know, you've got Kentucky, Georgia Tech, Florida State. You're seeing who is going to value which guy more. And so you've got a guy like Caron Wheeler out of Maryland, Baltimore, that Clemson's battling Florida and Tennessee for. I think Clemson's in a very good spot with Jaquan Rogers, a late riser out of Birmingham that Clemson kind of fell in love with and kick-started his recruitment for. So how defensive end takes shape for me is a significant piece, as well as you're always going to be looking at the marquee guys and the headliners. They've got two blue chip type guys coming in for one linebacker spot, Roman Igwebuike out of Chicago and Sean Fox out of Indianapolis, who are both four-star types, athletic, have some good suitors coming after them. Clemson's got one spot left, and how that sorts out will be fascinating.
All right. How does the overall in life has changed an awful lot? We talked about this is the chaos era, and hopefully we'll get to a new era in college football at some point in time. How does this group compare to maybe some of the previous groups we've had? I know we got more than one official visit weekend, but, you know, those big weekends in the last 4 or 5 years, how does this group compare athletically, ranking-wise? Is this on par or above or below maybe mm-hmm. what we've seen there?
Well, you know, I think the standard, at least for me, initially goes back to the Peter Woods and Sammy Brown kind of classes, where they had, you know, I guess maybe one or two more of the higher end types there, and maybe, you know, even particularly the year Peter Woods came out, Clemson just had they had more momentum on the trail, you know, more cachet as far as program prestige and everything. But also recruiting has changed. And so, you know, I think it's fair to say that while this group may not match what they did 2-3 years ago, I think if you look at every school, that is applicable as well. I mean, Georgia, 5 of their 8 guys right now are three-star types, or consensus 3 stars, really. And I think you'll see that across the board for a lot of schools, and so much of that is roster management and you're not going to be able to stack 4 and 5 stars because, number one, of the expense of that, and number two, you recognize the unlikelihood of being able to retain all those. And so you're trying to get a mix of depth guys and pieces you can develop, and as well as afford to and who will have the patience to, whereas your higher paid guys, you've got to play now or else it's dead money. So I think there is, I think the answer to your question is, does it match what Clemson was doing in its heyday? No, but I think the recipe has changed for everybody. And I think Clemson has, you know, you would also say the guys coming in at various positions, you know, linebacker, they've got some really high-end safeties, you know, or some really good safeties coming in. And they've taken care of a lot of the offensive class already here in the weekend, you know, the 2 weeks building up. So is it commensurate? No. But I think given where Clemson was coming out of the season and where it appeared recruiting might be headed, I think it's a pretty doggone good level, and one that, you know, you're pleased with, and let's see what they come out with defensive end-wise, and that might be the real barometer.
All right, tell us about TigerIllustrator.com. Obviously a huge weekend. It'd be a really good time to shop sharing passwords and go ahead and get your own, or to go ahead if you don't have it right now to get involved, because it's going to be a really cool weekend, I think.
And I think a lot of people and a lot of coaches at Clemson would agree. I think it's, you know, they've got really good momentum right now, and they've been able to create that over the last 2 weeks. I think you'll see more acquisitions coming out of the weekend, as well as Dabo Swinney camp starts next week. So they transition right from that into the opening wave of 2028 offers and quarterback targeting for next class, moving into their alternate official visit weekend. So a lot coming out of this weekend, and really over the next several weeks, you know, both for this class and the next class. A lot of activity, and if you enjoy recruiting, this is a frenzied fun period.
Get in touch with them, TigerIllustrator.com. Go ahead and get that subscription, and you'll really, your weekend will be enhanced this weekend. So, can't wait to see that. By the way, and Antonio Cromartie, doesn't he have like 10 kids or something? So you go ahead and offer one now. Maybe it might be a 10-for-1 day. Get a whole office.
Hey, one's already coming to Clemson. That, yeah. A sister's already coming for gymnastics. So. The bigger your family, the better. It's benefiting the Tigers.
I like it. I didn't know that. Gymnastics recruiting right here with Paul Strelo. Hey, can't thank you enough, buddy. Have a great week, and I can't wait to review it when we talk next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
You too. Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. Engineered sleep. I didn't get nap yesterday. I didn't get a nap. Won't get one today. Man, engineered sleep. EngineeredSleep.com. I miss those afternoon naps with Isla and taking care of those things. But with that said, we were tuckered last night. Let me give you a quick update with this. Engineer Sleep, get in touch with them. I'd love to help you out. EngineerSleep.com, the very best in the business with those ES Duo mattresses. 80% sleep efficiency last night. Not great. Only got 5 hours and 39 minutes of sleep last night. Got to do better, Mickey. Got to do better. Engineer Sleep, check them out. You're going to love the Duo mattress, the best mattress in the world, made right here in Greenville. Go check out those Engineer Sleep. Bit. I do think it's not sustainable. It's interesting. I got to answer a text here right quick. This is my wife.
Okay, got you. Yeah. I'm with you. I think it's not sustainable. And if it wasn't broke, why do we need to fix it?
Yes, totally agree with all that. By the way, let me tell you about Trail, TREHL.com, 800-319-7006. We love Trail. We love what Trail does. We love their company, what their whole identity is, what their whole branding is. And as someone said, and I'll read the quote to you maybe sometime here in the next couple of days. Well, someone said, they don't talk the talk, they walk the walk. Like, a lot of people have mission statements. And mission statements are great, but like, the restaurant I went to the other day, the mission statement said, we really do put Heath bars in your ice cream, even though they put Snickers. Like, they truly walk the walk at Trail. 800-319-7006. Trail does an incredible job of communicating and walking you through it and making sure you're right, and to the point where 80% of the annual volume is repeat clients. In a world in which no one ever uses the same builder or same architect, because it always goes wrong, it's always change orders, always delays, always over budget, always over time, it never works out. At Trail, it always works out. How about that? You know, Milt Lauder says, never say never and never say always. Well, what I'm telling you is, at Trail, it always works out. TREHL.com, 800-319-7006. All right, let me get into this. There is a danger to what Kirby Smart says in that if they don't like, if we can't come to some rules, we'll take our ball and go home, basically. We'll make our own rules. I think that's very dangerous.
Agree.
I think the idea when you get closed-minded that when, you know, other people don't know what we want to do, we know what we want to do, and I mean, I get part of that. I don't know if we set off the rest of the world, like if the SEC only played the SEC teams and didn't play any other teams, we're going to have your own championship. Is that the SEC championship, your national championship? You're not going to be involved. Like, in other words, would you really just watch just that? Like, you just pulled away and said, all right, SEC football, we're only going to do this. And we're going to play each other and have our own league. And that's fine, except for it's like kart and IndyCar. You know, that's a great example of it. We tried to ban all, well, we're going to take our drivers to go over here. It's like Live Tour and PGA Tour. Like, yeah, Live Tour, oh, it's a great idea to go branch off and do it on your own and play your own deal, only play against your own. The fact is that, like, you're still not beating the best of the best. And I know that yesterday Greg Sankey said, hey, we're still the best. Yeah, Greg, tell somebody else. That's not what the numbers indicate. By the way, what he said yesterday was, despite the Big Ten winning 3 national championships, the last 3, and head-to-head matchups, Sankey said the metrics are pretty narrow band, and the league still stands alone and is by far the best. He goes, the entirety of our league, we're by far the most competitive, the strongest football league by far. I'm like, I don't know about that, bro. I don't know.
Yeah, tough recruiting pitch also to go and tell kids, yeah, you can come compete for a championship, but it's not really going to be a national championship.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm a high school kid, I don't know how I feel about that.
I need to send a good shout out this morning. My good buddy Hayes out there is going to go crush it at Dabo Swinney football camp today. Hayes, knock it out of the park today, buddy. You're going to crush it today. Today's your day, Hayes. Go make it your day. All right. So there's danger in that. And all other things are like you overvalue yourself sometimes. I left this radio station for a short amount of time one time. And went to another. I was promised the world and went to another station. I thought, oh, they can't go on without me. And they went on without me. And they did quite well without me. And then I begged to come back and let me back. So that happens. You know, in relationships, you see that sometimes. Oh, I mean, I can't wait to break up with him or break up with her. And you go, oh, well, please take me back. Please take me back. Baby, come back. Any kind of fool could see. I was wrong. I just can't live without you. Yeah, go out there and try it. And you might see that a national championship is more impressive than an SEC championship. I know Sarkisian doesn't want to say, I know the talking points aren't that, but if Texas beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, is that the same as Michigan beating Notre Dame in the national championship game?
It's not, and it never will be.
So be careful what you wish for. There are people out there that live in Arkansas and live in Missouri that feel that way.
Again, what Kirby said of I've fear that we're going to ruin all other sports, you got to look at that too.
Yes.
Because you're robbing a lot of other schools or sports of opportunities to win. An SEC-only basketball championship?
Yeah.
That would stink.
Yeah.
That would stink. I don't know.
And look, they might be the best, but until you beat the best, all the other ones, then you're not, I mean, you can't just, it's a hypothetical in there. So let's say that Georgia Tech this year and UCLA this year aren't in the SEC. Georgia won the SEC championship. Georgia might go on to win the College World Series. But they still have to go do that, go beat UCLA, go beat Georgia Tech, go win the national championship, that rather than just beating Texas or Arkansas in the SEC championship and going, well, this is our league that we know we're the best. No, you might think you're the best, but you don't know you're the best. You got to go prove it. You got to go out and beat Notre Dame and beat Michigan and beat Ohio State and beat Indiana now and beat Texas Tech and beat Clemson or Florida State or Miami. You have to go do that. And, oh, by the way, Miami just beat you. And Ohio State just beat you. And Notre Dame just beat you. So you can't just assume, oh, we got big bands and fake blonde cheerleaders and baton twirls. Yeah, we got nice stadiums. Oh, yeah, well, when we win, it's so much harder to win an SEC championship than it is a national championship. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because if you take away part of the competition, then we don't know. Like, what if someone said, well, obviously, if you didn't let black baseball players in, they had to play in the Negro Leagues, then you'd go, oh, it's obviously we were playing against the best in the world. No, you weren't. So obviously this guy was the best hitter of all time. No, you got to compete against everybody. Yep. You got to go prove it against everybody. And if you are that good, then you will prove it. And there are many times where the SEC will prove it, that they are the best. But you can't just break off on your own, because Michigan just beat Alabama. Because Ohio State just beat Texas. Because Ohio State beat Tennessee. Because Notre Dame beat Georgia. Like, in your last few years, man, to be honest with you, they've stuck it to you pretty good. So you can claim all that and do all that. And try to take your ball and go home. But it's a little bit of a live tour thing.
Underrated question here. Who's to say that all these SEC coaches are going to agree to the same rules? Even then.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Because at that point, you're dealing with all these same big personalities that really are the ones driving a lot of this whole conflict anyway. And you're expecting them to get along and go for the good of whatever league they're in? I don't see that happening either.
Yeah, because in the end, they're not just SEC. They're human beings. And guess what? The reason we're in this case right now is human beings are disagreeing. And so you think that because we're all in the same conference that we're all going to agree? No, you're going to be disagreeing too. How about that? Like, that disagreeing doesn't go away. We're still human beings. They're not going to agree on everything. What are you going to do? Now we're just going to take, like, the Mississippi school is going to secede? We're only going to do the Mississippi League now. We're only going to play Southern Miss and Mississippi State. Ole Miss, we're going to play. What? Like, the Alabama school is going to be Alabama A&M and Alabama and Auburn and Troy. And, like, we're going to do USA. That's what we're going to do now? No. Like, you're still going to have disagreements in it. Work them out, man. That's what I'm telling you. Just work them out. Take your ball and go home doesn't work. It didn't work in IndyCar and CART. It didn't work in Live Tour. It's not going to work now. It didn't work for USFL. It's not going to work now. Like, let's come to a room and let's be adults and let's agree upon some stuff. We don't have to disagree on everything.
You know what it reminds me?
It didn't work in the Civil War. Like, okay, we're going to take our ball and go home. We start our own country. Right? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, a less extreme version that this reminds me of is, remember Bryson DeChambeau a few weeks ago telling PGA, well, I'll just go get my YouTube really good.
Okay.
All right.
Knock yourself out, champ. But then don't come back and tell me, well, in the equivalency of trying to match all out, 50 million YouTube viewers, that's the same as winning the Masters. And I could have won the Masters. I could have won the U.S. Open, but instead I was doing this. And that's the same. Or that's just as good. That's better. I'm the best player in the world. No. You're not the best player in the world because you have YouTube followers. Go out and beat the best players in the world. Go out, if you're the SEC, instead of taking the ball and going home, go beat Michigan, something you hadn't done lately. Go beat Ohio State, something you hadn't done lately.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Go beat Indiana, something you hadn't done lately. Heck, Penn State's done very well against you lately. Like, go do that, and then you can claim it. Because, as we know, in order to beat the man, you got to beat the man. even Ric Flair knew that.
Texture gets in and says, you pronounce Missouri right. Can you give us what you usually call Missouri just one time?
Madam Chairperson.
Thank you.
The great state of Missouri, the show me state, the state of the home's next Democratic governor, T. Ronald Jones, no, T. Thurgood Chandler. The state that gave us the Golden Arch and also gave us the Golden Education System that now ranks 23rd in education. The state of Missouri cast all 27 of its electoral votes for the next president of the United States, Walter Mondale. Yeah! Madam Chairperson.
It's my favorite thing. It's the so next. Good.
And they got to throw their other candidates in there. Home of the next United States, Democratic United States Senator. Even though he's polling at 23% right now. Adam Chaperson.
It's so when you were watching this thing, it was all the states doing this, right?
Not just Missouri. Oh, yeah, you got to the roll call.
But this is just the one that stuck out to you.
Alabama. Madam Chairperson, state of Alabama. Home of Forrest Gump, home of the Crimson Tide football team on the national championship, and home of the next Democratic lieutenant governor, the great whatever, who now the most improved in reading from K-5 to K through K-5. You know, you got to throw these little stats in there about your state. And then you tell how many votes. You couldn't just say, we cast 24 votes for Bondale, 3 votes for whatever. They don't do that. You got to go over. Yeah.
You got to give it some pizzazz.
And I think 1980 is the only time that the chairman was a chairwoman, so it was Madam Chairperson.
Madam Chairperson.
And then you got the people with the big signs in the background holding each other up, and they got those flat hats. You know, like the barber, the singing quartet of the barber guys, and they're all doing their, yeah, and they all got like a slogan in the back, women's, my body, my right, whatever, you know, whatever it is, or immigration to all, we're land of immigrants, whatever, you know, it's like they're flattening up there.
They're fired up.
Yeah.
They're fired up.
You got your slogan sign back there, and you got big pins too on your lapels.
I'm going to make you a slogan sign.
What would it
no
say?
No woo-woo.
No woo-woo. That's it.
Live tiger.
That's it. When we come back, Ashby has a family secret she's going to tell us.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm fascinated by this. Short break, final segment after this.
Sitting here today with good friend Gina Mahaffey of Insurance.
Specialist 404-8158, 404-8158. We love Carolina Flooring Specialists, love everything they do and how they do it. We love the fact that our garage floor now is something that we spend time in, and we don't go away from the automotive stains or the cracks or the concrete dust. We play in our garage, walk in our garage, spend time in our garage. Yours can as well. The most experienced group out there is Carolina Flooring Specialists. 404-8158, 404-8158. No obligation phone call. Take care of it. CarolinaFlooringSpecialist.com. Clemson's new president. Braves got beat 8-0 by the Red Sox last night. I guess it's game 3 of the series tonight, or this afternoon, at Fenway, and that's the end of the 3-game set there. Make sure I might be saying this. They might do a 4-game little set here, but Braves, that series is knotted at 1 at this point in time. Yeah, just one more game today. So rubber match in Fenway. Fenway Park today. Hurricanes go up 3-1 over Montreal. They've taken complete control of that. It's going to be the Hurricanes and the Golden Knights. And I really feel like the Hurricanes are going to win the Stanley Cup. So
really? Over my almost Golden Knights?
Yeah, almost through all that. We talked kickoff times. What did you think of the kickoff times? Clemson's going to play on ABC ESPN at least 4 times that we know of, with LSU, North Carolina, Cal, and Duke.
I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got the 10:30 start at Cal. That's going to be a little brutal. But, I mean, with all of the noon games last year, it was kind of refreshing to look at this and see 7:30, 7:30, 10:30 at night instead of noon, 3.
And ABC, ESPN, 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 and not ACC Network or C-Dub.
I know. It's so very good. Fun.
Yeah, that's better. Gamecocks suffer a little bit because they got their first 3 games are SEC Network, SEC Network Plus, and SEC Network. So those won't rate very high. By the way, for some reason, the SEC doesn't do ranking or ratings. They don't tell how many people watch their games. They don't. You can't find them. They're not rated. They're the only network I've ever seen that we don't know how many people are watching. It's a secret, and they get away with that. You want to break your own rules? How about doing what everybody else does in this deal to tell us how many people watching the games? They don't. The SEC Network does not do that. ACC Network does. C-Dub does. ESPN, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, everybody does it. SEC Network will not release their ratings. They're not rated. I don't know. I don't understand that. Why? Feinbaum Show, none of that stuff, not rated. Can't tell it. What are you ashamed of? Like, let us know.
Play by the rules.
I think people will be surprised by that, by how few people watch those SEC Network games. Because why would you watch South Carolina, Mississippi State at the same time that Georgia's playing Texas or Alabama's playing LSU or that, you know? And there's only one TV. You can't watch one game. Well, you can watch 2 or 3 at a time, but like the rated games is how it works.
Mm.
Stanford beats Cal in women's golf. Man, what a season Stanford had again. That golf program, they're as good as – the women's golf program is as good as anybody out there. Also, we had bipartisan bill being talked about now and kicked around now, and that makes a lot of sense. Let's get that thing done. Let's find a way to get some – out of the chaos era. And I don't care whoever sponsors the bill. Like, Ted Cruz is one of them. I don't know if you like Ted Cruz. I don't care. Like, this – I'll vote for anybody who can straighten out college football. Madam Chairperson, the inventor of the new college football era. I'd vote for you, man. I would vote for you. You get all my electoral votes. You get all of them. Fix that. I don't care about anything else. Just fix college athletics.
Number one.
Yes.
Let's start there. Yeah, it was Ted Cruz and Democrat Maria Cantwell.
Get it done. Vote for both of them. I don't care what your RRD, red or blue. I don't care. Get that thing done. I'll vote for it. I'll contribute to your campaign.
Chaos era.
Yeah. Yes. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. Good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate. 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Get in touch with them. They'd love to help you out. Brad Hughes, I can buy my homeowners and my auto owners, and that's it. So the best coverage out there is Brad Hughes and Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Chad the mailman says, Sankey's logic is if I beat everyone up in my neighborhood, that means I'm the toughest man in the world. Very good correlation there. Very good analogy.
I like it. I like it, Chad.
Texas said, "Your Todd Ellis is still the best." So you hadn't even done – you don't even know this one yet, do you?
No, I'm still learning all your impressions.
Todd Ellis, former Gamecock quarterback that I think threw – 93 interceptions in his career.
Okay.
One of the all-time leaders in interceptions in college football history, Todd Ellis. Play-by-play voice, University of South Carolina.
Give it to me.
Well, can you find it first?
Yes.
Over there. Give me a touchdown Todd Ellis call, if you can find that. And then, later in the segment, we're going to reveal a family secret of Ashby's that blew my doors off today. There are very few things you go, I had no idea on this. I had no idea. Didn't know this at all. Texture says Ric Flair's quote is, in order to be the best, you had to beat the best. I always thought it was, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. I could have been wrong about that. Maybe in order to be the best, you got to beat the best. So don't take your ball and go home. Let's get this thing done, and let's take care of that for sure. Are we close on Todd Ellis, play-by-play voice? Hope we can hear him. I'm going to get in trouble here, but.
All right. I'm ready.
I don't think Todd's a very good play-by-play guy. But anyway, what you got for me over there? Todd Ellis.
All right. This is 2025 Clemson Carolina football. Clemson going to score a touchdown.
Okay.
Believe this is Todd.
Okay.
Hold on.
This is a Clemson touchdown?
Clemson touchdown.
He's not going to like this.
It's picked off. Jones, the free safety, caught it out of the air. Oh, and just like you might think, something bad goes wrong in the fourth quarter, and Carolina's denied on the very first play. The Tigers with a pick six on Lenora Sellers, and they get their revenge from a year ago in Memorial Stadium.
He had to throw it in there to beat them last year. The other thing is, right before that play...
He didn't even say touchdown, y'all.
Oh, no. No, right before that play, Tommy Suggs and Tyler were talking about, now it's time to go be, like, historical. Now it's time to be, you know, make your legacy. And then the very first play, he throws a pick six.
Cinema.
So, because a couple of people have requested it. There's... The background on this is they had a wide receiver named Kenny McKinley, the late Kenny McKinley. He's no longer with us. Sad. He's one of the all-time leading receivers.
In South Carolina?
South Carolina. And his name was Kenny McKinley. And he had that kind of name that you have to say. It's like Freddie Freeman, mm-hmm. Kenny McKinley. You have to say it. No one ever called him Kenny. No one ever called him Ken. No K-Dog.
No McKinley.
No McKinleys. No Max. No Kenny Max. No one. It's always Kenny McKinley.
Of course.
And what Todd Ellis always does is he always says touchdown Carolina. Then the player – you know, so it's always it's touchdown Carolina and then touchdown the player. So what Todd Ellis is, what the textures are referring to here, young grasshopper, is this. Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Kenny McKinley! That's where we are with that. I don't think this is good as a matter
of character. Can you do it one more time?
Touchdown, Carolina! First of all, he always did this, too. It was always, welcome back to the Steve Spurrier Calling Show. Coach Spurrier?
Coach Spurrier? It's like people, I had a professor that said DeBose Sweeney.
No. I got a buddy of mine called him, what's he calling him? He calls him Dabo. Dabo, yeah, Dabo. Anyway, well, Ty, you got to understand, Ty. Anyway, Ty's not a very good play-by-play guy because he's just not very good at it. But the voice, man, that gravel in there. I think he's trying to do Larry Munson maybe, but it doesn't do quite as good.
I don't know between that and Madam Chairperson.
I think Madam Chairperson's better. 2 minute drill. I can just go ahead and tell you now, my doors are blown off today. This is brought to you by Eric Newton, EricNewton.com. For all real estate needs, EricNewton.com. The best in the business in Clemson. Any kind of real estate you need in Clemson, let's talk about real estate in Clemson right now. It's a good time to buy real estate in Clemson. If you have questions about anything, full-service real estate company, it's EricNewton.com. Go ahead and tell the audience what you told me earlier today when you blew my doors off with this family piece of family information that you have.
Well, this was after the Pete Golden conversation.
Yeah.
I said he has a little Kenny Powers to him.
Yes.
And then I said that my Aunt Katie plays Kenny Powers' girlfriend in Eastbound and Down, April. Well,
what you said was my Aunt Katie is Kenny Powers' wife. I was like, oh, she reminds you of the character. Kenny, no. She's the character.
That's her, Katie Bixon. Yep. Oh, yeah.
She plays April Buchanan.
She does.
In Eastbound and Down.
She does.
She's an actress.
That's her.
She was on My Name is Earl.
She was.
She was on 2 and a Half Men. 3 times she was on 2 and a Half Men.
The thing that got me...
Your aunt.
This is my aunt. The thing that got me the most clout growing up was that we did Celebrity Family Feud with her against the Duck Dynasty family.
No. Your family has been on Celebrity Family Feud against the Robertsons.
Beat them.
They took the Robertsons down.
Take that, Duck Callers. Mixons are here.
Take that, Uncle Cy.
Yeah, Uncle Cy. I don't think Uncle Cy was in AAA. He didn't get the call up to be on Celebrity Family Feud.
I saw the Robertson guy now, the main guy now, and he's had a bunch of plastic surgery or Botox or something.
What?
Yeah, he can't move his forehead.
We did it to him.
Your aunt was wrinkles. On Four Christmases. She was Susan in Four Christmases.
She was.
She got her own Wikipedia page. She was in Minions.
Yeah, most commonly known for her role in the Minions. I and Katie.
No, Eastbound and Down's a big... Oh, no, she had American Housewife. She did 103 episodes of American Housewife. She's Katie Otto in American Housewife. That's your aunt.
That's my Aunt Katie. That's my dad's sister. Crazy.
One of your dad's... 5 or 6 sisters.
Yeah, my dad grew up around a lot of girls. Nothing that me or my mom do can scare my dad. It's awesome.
Texas said American Housewife is an amazing show. She did a big 6-year run of that.
Oh, yeah. Crazy stuff. Now she's a mama. She's living her best life.
That's unbelievable. I didn't know that. And your dad was on Celebrity Family Feud.
He was. The Robertsons, y'all. Got Dynasty. Something on them.
Yeah, take that. Forgot this guy's name. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. Let me thank Paul Strela. And it's loaded now, it looks like. Anyway, let me thank Paul Strela. Great job, Ash. Be with us tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
So have a great one. Sam and Faxon up next. Have a great day. Most importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's when we will see you right here on the radio.